Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, I saw a list of overrated and underrated players on a team, and I saw that Amari Cooper was an overrated free agent and that Byron Jones is an underrated free agent.
She said
no, not that kind of list, Shippy. I appreciate that, though. Mm-hmm. And it got me to kind of thinking, all right, so, and this is maybe just media trying to, hey, these guys are that, because it does give you a very small sense of what a guy is, right, if we're just kind of putting them in a labeling them and putting them in a box somewhere. But I started wondering, Mike, and I'm very curious about the way a clubhouse and a locker room work. If a guy gets paid and doesn't deserve it, do his teams have a less respect for him? And do his teammates get upset with the franchise for signing another guy or for letting go another guy that maybe should have deserved it? Because if I think Byron Jones, we can all agree, that dude puts in the work, he puts in the effort, and he on game day, that dude shows up. Now, he may not, and you can say, well, interceptions are overrated or whatever, and that's fine. I'm fine with that because he does cover well. But I do also agree that Amari Cooper puts in work, and he shows up too, but, man, he was missing for some games this year. Yet, the Cowboys this offseason are probably going to commit $20 million to him and $0 to Byron Jones.
Well, I think there's a valid point here, and this can be the case, and I'm drawing a blank on when it came to possibly going outside the organization and getting somebody versus staying with a guy who's done all the right things. And so I don't think the Cowboys fall into this situation because everybody who's on this team that's been average to above average has been paid and paid a lot of money. Byron Jones is actually most likely next week going to be the first guy that is an above average player for the Cowboys in the last, let's say, 8 years that is going to move on to another team that the Cowboys didn't reward for what he did in his first 4 to 5 years as a Dallas Cowboy. So I don't think the Cowboys are going to look at this, whether it's the offensive line, his teammates on the defensive side, Jalen Smith, or a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, who've both recently been paid a lot of money. I don't think they're going to be upset with this.
Right.
But I do think, like, my other example would be a team like the Steelers. They've been a great organization for a long time. I know they don't have the championships that the Patriots have, but they have multiple championships, and they make the playoffs almost every year. They've done some things that I thought, man, that's going to hurt the chemistry of that team. I mean, they're letting go of a really valuable player who's still in his prime but getting close to the end of his prime. And those players are going to get mad, and they keep doing this. So, man, if you're on the Steelers and you do well, but you get to be 28 or 29 years old, they don't seem to want to reward those guys no matter what they did for the organization, unless you're the quarterback. But as long as that team who won 11 games goes ahead and wins 12 games the next year, and then they do it again to some other player, and then they win 11 games and 12 games, and they keep winning that amount of games and keep pretty much consistently making the playoffs.
They can do whatever they want.
Right. The players look at it and go, man, I don't like this, and I'm probably not going to be a Steeler for more than 5 to 7 years of my career, and they're going to let me go. But being in this organization, it does win.
That's really interesting because the Patriots always, like, I love the Patriots mentality of, listen, we're going to be able to be successful because of what we have established. We'll eventually figure out how to work a guy in. But the Cowboys, it always seems like the Cowboys are more willing to pay you based on what your past value was perceived. one of the reasons Amari Cooper is perceived as more valuable is because they traded a first-round pick for him. Well, and he also has done this before, so obviously we can project that he's going to do that in the future. Bill Belichick's process is, what can you do for me this week? And if you can't do it for me this week and I can't, I'll move on and I'll find somebody that can. And then next week, I'll have a different set of problems on my hand. But you know what? I'll be able to figure it out because I'm smart enough to do it. Cowboys haven't
felt. No days off.
The Cowboys have always, and with under Jason Garrett, I wonder how different this is under Jason Garrett. It seemed like the Cowboys were more along the lines of, hey, just, you know, for 16 games, yeah. We need this. Yeah. And that's all that mattered. Now, I just saw this from Ed Werder. He says, my sense from speaking to Cowboys sources, the team is working hard to reach agreement with Amari Cooper and that Cooper and his agent seem motivated at the moment to get something done. To me, present indications are that he could be signed before Dak Prescott. I didn't expect that.
Okay, I wonder if this, Amari Cooper did do the interview with the nosebleed seats last week and yep. talked about how much he'd like to be a Dallas Cowboy. And I wonder if he's doing this to his agent, not forcing him to make a deal with the Cowboys, but saying, hey, I really want to be a Cowboy. If it's not going to work out, I'll go somewhere else. But if you can work it out with the Cowboys, let's work it out with the Cowboys. And I think the Cowboys are in a situation where they don't want to use both franchise tags because they might have – the Jones family probably has a good idea along with other owners on how that vote is going with the players. And I just – if they're getting a sense that – hey, these people are upset because they voted yes and they want to change their vote to no, and we're getting an idea that I don't know if they've been counted or not. Like if the owners, I mean, I think the owners probably know what the vote is at right now. Maybe they're not supposed to know, but I bet they already know what the vote is at. And if the Jones family sees the vote right now is 58% yes, 42% no with 1,000 votes in, they might go, whoa, we better get something done with Amari or Dak because one of them is going to be a free agent if we don't, because we're not going to have both franchise and transition tag to use this offseason. So maybe that's forcing their hand a little bit.
Very interesting.
And then Amari Cooper might be telling his agent, I really want to be a Dallas Cowboy. It doesn't mean that I have to if you can't get a deal close to what we want, but can you work out something with the Cowboys so I don't get offered this awesome deal from the Colts.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to be a Colt, but I'll take it because he's talked about he hates cold weather with Jane Slater at the Pro Bowl. He doesn't want to play anywhere where it's cold weather. And yeah. I know the Colts play indoors, but maybe he just doesn't want to be in anywhere where it's cold. And so he doesn't want to get an offer where his agent's like, you got to take it. It's $3 more million per year with the Colts over the Cowboys. And that's over a 5-year period. That's $15 million more dollars they're offering you. And the Cowboys are offering you, maybe he doesn't want to get put in that situation.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I want to go back to the Byron Jones, Amari Cooper comparison, because I'm fine letting go players that, and I know people hate this phrase, aren't the right kind of guy. I don't like letting go of right kind of guys.
Okay.
All right. Like I'm fine with moving on from players that don't put the work in. I'm fine with moving on from players that have problems fitting in the locker room. Obviously, I want all the talent that I can get. Like I'm okay. always trying to acquire all the talent. But if I have to make a choice, I would rather take the dude that I know is going to show up and give everything.
Take the positions out. Well, so you want the Cowboys to sign Byron Jones over Amari Cooper. That's what I'm hearing from you, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, because I don't and I'm trying to make this.
You think Cooper's the wrong type of guy?
I think the clubhouse is a delicate place, but you're saying that the guys that have already been paid aren't going to care because they got paid. I think there are more guys on your team that aren't paid that are like, how do I get paid? And once you start to believe that I don't have to be there every week, I don't have to do all the things that it takes to be a champion.
Yeah.
I don't have to, you know, Michael Irvin was real big on a lot of guys just showed up to get checks. And I went to my coach and told them each one of them to get rid of them because I wanted guys that were there to win championships. I think
we're working so hard.
Yeah, I think that once you start to see that the leaders of your team aren't held to a certain standard, or don't hold themselves to a certain standard, then you don't either. And I could say that within this building, I hate seeing people that don't work hard. Whenever you're working your ass off trying to get somewhere, and some people just kind of show up and roll the ball out there and say, "All right, let's do this thing," it doesn't make me feel motivated to give my best effort. And that's the way that I would feel if I was a player too. And I wonder how that is in other clubhouses. If Rougned Odor is getting this kind of a contract and he's not giving all that effort, but he's still getting paid and still getting those opportunities, what gives me the motivation to go out there and work even harder than him if I'm not even going to get a shot or if I'm not even going to get that chance? And so you're saying, Cowboys, that Amari Cooper, who doesn't show up every on road games, is going to get $20 million, but Byron Jones, who shows up every week and nobody can throw against him, isn't getting paid anything? That doesn't make any sense to me. And that's just an organizational philosophy that I don't like.
I hear you. I just don't think there's any Cowboys that feel that way, as far as I know, about Amari Cooper versus Byron Jones.
Does that make any sense in other locker rooms, or am I wrong?
No, you're right. It does. And I'm just going to turn it to this. And all we can go on what we hear, right, is I'm going to turn it to another guy that was a little bit more of maybe what you're talking about. He wanted to win bad, but wouldn't show up to meetings. Would argue with coaches.
David Irving?
Dez Bryant.
Okay.
One of the most popular Cowboys in the last 20 years, I think, or 15 years. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Dez Bryant here. I think Dez Bryant brought a lot to the Cowboys organization. I just wonder if I'd now change it with Dez Bryant, because his popularity, right? Amari Cooper hasn't gotten near the popularity that Dez Bryant got when his contract was up, right? I mean, Dez was like, we got to sign Dez. So many people love Dez. To this day, people still think Dez is going to be the best wide receiver in football somehow when he comes back this year. Is Dez was a guy that wouldn't show up to meetings or show up late or not pay attention or tell coaches to just be quiet and let him do his thing or interrupt practice because he wanted to get his one-on-one on. They're all not negative things, because he's very competitive in some of those things. He's very competitive with his coaches because he wanted to win and he felt like the coaches weren't doing what he felt like was in the best interest of himself or the team. And sometimes he got so competitive, and we saw it in All or Nothing. Like, I don't care about practice of the 53 guys. I care about showing up Jordan Lewis right now. And so it's like, okay, so we're going to have to stop practice and just do a Jordan Lewis versus Dez Bryant 5-minute session and practice is over because we have to do the Dez Bryant thing right now. And so I think that where I'm going with this is, if it was Dez Bryant, because I know you love Dez Bryant, right?
Everybody does.
Would you say the same things if it was Dez Bryant based on like popularity versus Byron Jones? Would you be like, we have to
popularity with his teammates?
Yeah. He's not popularity with his teammates.
Okay.
Popularity with the public.
Okay.
So you love Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, now it's 2014 all over again.
Right.
It's Dez Bryant versus Byron Jones. If you're talking right guy versus wrong guy, if we're just talking about the personality and not the talent, we'd say Dez Bryant is a much more talented wide receiver than Byron Jones, right? Than Byron Jones being a cornerback.
Yeah, I can see that.
Would you still feel the same way that we have to keep Byron Jones over Dez Bryant? Now we're talking talent. Well, I have a better talented player, but who causes more issues?
Dez Bryant had some injuries that kept him off the field. I know he wanted to be out there, but man, again, Byron's there every week. Like, Byron doesn't get injured. He's not hurt. He shows up. He does the job. He's really good. He's quiet. He's a perfect example of, if I say, hey, this is what we're going to do, and from the 601, never ever quit, guys. That's the kind of guy I want on my team, and I'm willing to pay those guys because I think that the guys in the locker room will see it and say, that's the guy that's getting paid. That's who I want to be. When Jason, and I know Jason Witten was who he was, and he's not the same guy now, but when DeMarco Murray came in, he said, I want to be like Jason Witten. Whatever supplements he's taking, I want to take those supplements too, because that's the bar. Now, is Amari Cooper the bar for Michael Gallup to become?
He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
And what I think here's the realistic part of if you let Amari Cooper go, won't some of the offensive players and even the defensive players, especially probably the defensive players who have nothing to do with the offense, they're not in the meetings, they'd be like, wait a second. So we were headed towards a top 10 pick in the draft. We traded for a guy. Our offense became relevant. We go 7-1 and win a playoff game. And now we're going to just let that dude walk? Hey, Jones family, do you not remember what we were without Amari Cooper? So I think you could have a lot of players upset if you let Amari Cooper walk, going, he changed a whole season. Not just him, but that trade really changed the direction of the 2018 Dallas Cowboys.
From the 817, Byron Jones put his leg back together on the sidelines and missed one play. Those are the kinds of guys I want, Mike.
How is he running with a broken
just
leg?
Just cut it off and let me get back out on the field.
But I think you love everybody.
Oh, man, that's interesting. All right, here's the other thing. So I do wonder how much, if the Cowboys are working on getting the deal done with Amari Cooper right now, how much is that going to affect Dak's decision? Y'all did it. Y'all went out and y'all made sure, y'all ensured that I have my wide receiver. Let's get a deal done for the long term.
I think Dak will be happy that Amari Cooper is re-signed if he is re-signed this week, but I don't think that will affect Dak at all at his numbers. That if he was like, let's just say he's at 37, 38 million. I don't know what he's at.
Yeah, sure.
But we know that he will not accept 33.5 million is what they're pretty much reporting that they did. Is I don't think all of a sudden if they sign Amari tomorrow that Dak's going to say, all right, now I'm down to 34 million. Just come up a half more million and we'll be there. So I don't think it's going to affect what he wants to do financially.
But I can totally see it being something where he's like, this is the right situation. But I agree with you. If you're trying to get money, get that money. All right, coming up next, can the Mavs get through the injury bug stretch? Plus, Draymond and Barkley, it just keeps going. We talk about it next on The Fan. Can the Mavericks overcome an injury stretch at this point in the season? They got, 18 games left here, Mike?
Okay, 39-26.
And so you do the math, Mike. I'm not the math person here on this show.
That means they have more games left.
Okay, they got some games left. But the situation is, if they were to sustain an injury during the stretch, will they be able to overcome it? And I have a lot of questions about their roster depth, but Rick Carlisle says that's why you build a deep roster. And obviously he thinks, look, I can work with some guys, but you didn't anticipate losing Dwight Powell in the middle of the season.
Right.
All right. So that was obviously, okay, we got to do something there. They went out and got Willie Cauley-Stein and he barely plays, right?
He's been playing more. And I guess I will say I feel like I know I've taken for granted Dwight Powell's chemistry with Luka, because I don't think it was this last game that they lost. It was one of the games before that they won. Luka's throwing alley-oops to Willie Cauley-Stein the same way he threw to Dwight Powell, but Willie doesn't know how to pick and then roll hard to the basket. And so
I don't think he's as explosive either.
So Luka's trying to, he's slower.
Yeah.
But he's not slower. He just doesn't know how to do it.
He's longer and less coordinated.
So he protects the basket way better than Dwight Powell does defensively. But there's just chemistry between Luka and Dwight on the pick and then dive to the basket that Willie Cauley-Stein, and I know it's early, but he just can't seem to figure out how to dive to the basket and be there for the alley-oop with the right timing.
All right. The other night, though, Luka comes away and his thumb's hurt, right?
Okay.
That's scary. Seth Curry falls to the floor, gets up, can't put much weight on his ankle. That's scary. And what time do we get the injury report? Who's playing tonight?
Usually, because
they got the Spurs tonight.
5 o'clock, we'll know for sure. But they had morning shoot around. I just haven't checked. Like Brad Townsend is usually who I go to for the updates on Twitter.
All right, we'll check it out then. We'll just make sure what's going on there. But if the Mavericks were to miss Luka for a stretch, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
If they're missing Kristaps for a stretch, that's a problem. That's why I was asking about tonight's game versus tomorrow night's game. Tonight's game, you're playing against San Antonio, a team that you might have an easier chance beating. But do you want to beat the Denver Nuggets tomorrow night? So how are you going to handle
it? I want to win both.
Because you have, you're right. And I do too. But you're not playing Kristaps both nights, are you?
No. No, and that's where the Pelicans are a bad organization and the Mavericks are a good organization, is they're not going to force things for just a regular season basketball game, where I think they're forcing a lot on Zion now, and probably they're going to come to regret what they did to Zion in the second half of his rookie season. To your point of, I know you're talking about San Antonio, Denver, here's Bobby Corella on Twitter. He says, tonight kicks off a stretch of 5 out of 7 against teams currently out of the playoffs. Obviously, Denver isn't one of those. That's big for Dallas, because after that, 8 of their final 10 are against current playoff teams. And that includes 4 against the West teams with whom the Mavs are battling for position. So you're looking at 2 against Houston left. you're looking at, I don't know how many against Oklahoma City. I believe they have another one against Oklahoma City. You know, Memphis is far enough back. I don't think the Mavs can really fall into the eight seed. It just seems impossible for them to fall to the eight. They can get all the way up to fourth if they had a great finish to the season. But we're talking about, I believe they have 17 games left, just doing the math. You would probably need to go to get to the four seed. I would say going 13-4 to finish the season would probably give you a good chance to get home court advantage in the first round. If you want to just get to the five seed, you're probably looking at going 12-5 about to get all the way up to there to make sure that you beat out Houston and Oklahoma City. That's doable, but as Bobby Corella puts on his Twitter here, this 2 weeks here is really important because you do play the bad teams in, for the most part, in the NBA, that you can rack up wins that look winnable. Denver doesn't look winnable, especially with the back-to-back.
Yeah.
I would play tonight hard because this is a very winnable game. San Antonio is a very beatable team.
Yep.
Denver's not. Your problem is the last time you played against Denver, Porzingis was out with his injury, with his knee injury, and Jokic at the end of the game dominated because you had nobody close to his size and ability to play with him. I know Porzingis will get pushed around by Jokic, and Jokic pushes around every human being in the NBA. You know, guys that he might struggle with that would be like Steven Adams. I mean, you have to be a beast of a guy for Jokic not to just get where he wants to go on the court. But that'll be tough for the Mavs playing tomorrow night. But tonight, I go all out against San Antonio. As long as Porzingis and Luka are healthy, I'm playing them, and I'll worry about tomorrow, most likely almost give up the game.
Do you think the last 18 games here, or 17 games, right, or whatever, do you think that they have a deep enough roster to finish out healthy enough to stay in the playoffs?
Oh, 100. They can get hurt and make the playoffs.
Okay.
I think I hate to say this, because this better not happen. Luka can miss the rest of the season and they'll make the playoffs.
So you're saying that Luka's not good enough to.
They have 39 wins. I think 42 wins or 43 wins will get you the eight seed.
Okay.
They would need to, in their 17 games, if they win three or four of their 17 games, they'll make the playoffs.
Okay.
If we're talking about getting to the four or five seed, like I said, they're going to have to be great to finish the season. And I don't think the Mavericks, their organization, are that concerned about getting to the four or five seed.
I think they're most concerned about getting in the playoffs and getting experience,
right,
with these two young players that 5 years from now should be contending for titles.
I wonder this too. If you do play Denver in the first round, Denver is going to be the two or three seed, most likely. Utah and Houston, probably more Utah, is going to be the four seed. There's still Oklahoma City could be the four seed, and you'd really regret not getting to the five seed if Oklahoma City was there. Not saying that Oklahoma City's bad. It would just be like, out of those teams, if you could play Oklahoma City, holy cow, you could play Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I wonder if you play this game well tonight, you win.
The Thunder, Shippy?
Yeah.
And okay. Denver, if you get to it, Denver would have never really played you with Luka and Porzingis on the court.
So they don't know what to expect.
Would that be advantage a little bit go playoff time if you're playing Denver in the first round? I wouldn't predict the Mavericks to win the series, but I'd say, man, this is going to be interesting because they haven't played the Luka-Porzingis combination.
That being said, Luka-Porzingis also has not played them. You know, yeah. So together, that's another thing. But I see what you're saying because the attack could be a little different. I'm going to get to this Charles Barkley, Draymond Green thing in just a minute. Here we go. Jerry Jones' statement. He's made his statement, Mike.
All right, here we go.
God, this feeds into exactly what I was telling you earlier. We are very excited about being named to play in the Hall of Fame game this year. When we learned that Jimmy Johnson would be involved in the August and not September ceremony in Canton, we approached the Hall of Fame and expressed a strong interest in being part of honoring his legacy and induction by bringing our team and Cowboys fans to Canton.
What?
So, yes, Jerry Jones said, hey, and he's using the Cowboys fans and we're honoring Jimmy Johnson, but he wanted to give himself some shine, right?
He 100% wanted his new coach to have the extra time. And yes, the He is the best brander of sports
he's so good.
In the world. It's not even close how great he is at this.
Hold on. Jimmy Johnson's going in the Hall of Fame. How do I get my name on that too? Perfect. Brilliant, dude. They went to the NFL and said, hey, Jimmy Johnson's going in. This just makes sense
Do you think the NFL would ever say no to the Dallas Cowboys if they want to play in the Hall of Fame game?
No.
They're always going to say yes because they bring the most eyes.
Ratings, eyeballs, fan base, money. It's brilliant, and that's exactly what Jerry Jones did. Man, what a smart move. All right, so Charles Barkley has been talking nonstop. Let's go to cut two on this, Shippy. He's been talking nonstop about Draymond Green and the numbers that he's putting up on a nightly basis.
He had his normal triple single.
Golden State.
Why you on him so hard? He talk all that stuff when he got them other boys with him.
Golden State hanging in there against the Lakers, a 54-52 game at the break. American Express has Kenny and Shaq and Charles. Don't encourage him.
Come on, wait. No, man. He talks all that stuff when he got them other boys with him. Got out there and fight for himself, he just don't want to play. Give me a break. Y'all better quit telling me who can play and who can't play. I know who can play.
How hard are games like this to play in? If you're the Lakers, how hard are
So there he is, and Charles Barkley is very opinionated and also has his thoughts, but another triple single for Draymond Green. And then Draymond Green, well, he came back at Charles Barkley. And here's what he had to say.
Barkley should stop before I go take his job, though. So I can do that well, too. He already ain't make enough money playing, so he need that job. He should stop talking to me. I like to, tendency to end people. So he should stop before I take his job.
Not soon, though.
If he keep talking, I'll take it sooner than he thinks. So, yeah, he probably should be quiet. He also can't talk basketball to me either. Not smart enough, not qualified. No rings, can't sit at this table.
Oh, I saw that on 105.3thefan.com over the weekend, and I was like, damn. Because I always hate that argument, but I also abide by it, man. If you have three rings, then you're the king of the table because you did it three times. I felt that way with Michael Irvin.
I agree with, in basketball, that argument. If you're Steph Curry or if you are Kevin Durant and you were the leader of those teams.
Dude, somebody has to do the dirty work, though, Mike. You can't.
Ori's not better than Charles Barkley. Ori's not better than Dirk Nowitzki because he has five. That's what I'm saying is Draymond Green is a great role player and a borderline all-star. I'm not taking anything away. Charles Barkley was a top five player in the game during his prime.
Yeah. Okay.
Draymond's never got close to that. So I get the ring thing, but the ring thing is like, I think Shaq can make fun of Barkley. Shaq led teams to championships.
Gotcha.
Barkley was leading teams and led one team to the NBA finals. But I mean, Draymond never, that's what Barkley's making fun of. Is, hey, Draymond, now that Curry and Klay Thompson are hurt, where's the 50-win season? Because Barkley looks at it and goes, hey, when after Julius Irving, Dr. J left, guess who carried the Philadelphia 76ers for a while to playoff appearances? Guess who then got tired of Philadelphia and they weren't doing well and went to Phoenix and carried a team to the NBA Finals, right? Draymond doesn't carry teams. He's a great third piece on a team.
And then Charles Barkley came back at Draymond Green with this.
I think he's a good player and a great guy. I like messing with him, but he's got the perfect face for radio. He don't have a TV face. He don't have a TV face.
It's hard what you do, man.
No. He can do the job, but he don't have a face for TV. He got a face for radio.
All right, Mike. We hear that all the time. I see that on Twitter at In the Majors all the time. People saying, this dude right here, face for radio.
It's the greatest joke.
Sean and RJ went through the entire staff this morning trying to figure out who is the best looking at the station. And they said that Jeff Kavanaugh and Dalton Miller are the best looking people at the station. Your thoughts?
Jeff drives me insane, so I wouldn't put him in that category. best looking guy up here.
Yeah, if you were a woman.
Andy in sales.
Okay, yeah, no, he is. Absolutely. You're dead on about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Call Andy. Call Andy in sales. Say you want Andy and say, Mike and Andy, we're ready to make a deal.
I like that. That's nice work there, Mike. All right, coming up next, you know what? It is time for some baseball nuggets with my good friend, Mike Bacsik. And Mike, I'm wondering where we're going with this today.
Well, not only is the coronavirus affecting the team, but the other day, a guy wrote an article and said, here's the breakout player for your Texas Rangers. I'll give it to you next. Now, before I do, I want you to help change the lives of thousands of local kids with your donation of that old car, boat, or motorcycle, running or not, to carsforkids.org. What's going to happen? You're going to give kids a second chance to earn their high school diploma. That's very important. It has helped out a lot of kids. Last year, you guys did a great job in 2019. I believe our station was the best at getting donations to carsforkids.org. This year, new stadium there out in Arlington to go see the Texas Rangers. You donate, you're going to get a couple tickets to the Texas Rangers. You just need to ask for that. You can also get a $50 Visa gift card if you'd rather have that. They accept trucks, vans, motorcycles, RV, campers, so don't worry if it's not a car situation. They provide free towing in most cases and convenient pickup options. The number to call, 972-274-5437. That's 972-274-KIDS. And by the way, tax time, I know it's tax time right now. This will help you come tax time next year if you're worried about your taxes right now. You're going to receive the highest possible tax deduction for your donation. They are tax exempt, IRS approved, 501c3 nonprofit charity. Guys, let's write off the car, not the kid, at 972-274-KIDS. That's carsforkids.org.
I just saw an awesome tweet from at Texas William. You all know him. You all know his gifs. He tweeted a gif of Jerry Jones. I'm the captain now. Look at me. I'm the captain. Because that's what Jerry did, right? Jimmy Johnson's going into the Hall of Fame, and Jerry Jones said, hey, look over here. Look at me. Don't forget about me. By the way, 105.3thefan.com. Mike Fisher just posted a story about Jerry Jones' inspiration for wanting to be in the Hall of Fame game, featuring Jimmy Johnson, of course. All right, so Mike Bacsik, though, it is time for you, as our friends G-Bag Nation are out there in Surprise, Arizona, dominating the sports talk world for you in the afternoons. It's time for Mike Bacsik to talk a little baseball in Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
All right, so I go to The Athletic, and this comes from my former general manager, Jim Bowden, who was my Washington Nationals general manager, who I have to get over him and what he did to my career, but pretty much ended it. You don't
what?
Know? Oh, yeah.
Dude, do I not know this story?
What a jerk.
So in 2008, he was mad at me.
Did
in
you tell this story while I was in the car the other day?
No. I told it, you know, when I was on G-Bag Nation. But in 2007, I'm on the Washington Nationals, and my shoulder's starting to really bug me right around the time I gave up the home run to Barry Bonds. And so I go get an MRI, and they're like, well, you know, I mean, you have stuff going on in your shoulder like any pitcher would who's been throwing for a long time. But we don't see anything really wrong with it. I'm like, man, it hurts when I throw. And they're like, all right. And so Jim Bowden wants me to get a cortisone shot. But the doctor isn't recommending a cortisone shot. So we're in L.A. about ready to play the Dodgers. I'm about an hour away from the game starting, getting ready. And they're like, did you get your cortisone shot? And I'm like, no, the doctor didn't recommend it. So I didn't get it. And he's like, furious with me. I can't remember everything he said to me, but he is furious at me. It's really weird right before a game I'm about to pitch against to just start yelling at your starting pitcher before the game about not getting a cortisone shot. So anyways, he didn't want me back on the Nationals. I didn't really know this, but the owners really did. And so did Bob Boone, who really liked me a lot. So they offered me a contract and I wanted to be back with the Washington Nationals. And so midway through spring training, they send me down quick before even minor league camp starts. And I'm like, what is going on? And my manager at the time, Manny Actis, said, you're going to have to talk to Jim Bowden. This isn't my decision. So he wasn't happy with the decision to just get rid of me that quick in spring training. Then I'm in minor league camp and I'm not pitching in minor league games. And then they come to me and they say, what do you think about working for Masson, which is like Fox Sports Southwest up there for their games? They're like, what if you were the pre and post game analyst? And I was like, man, that sounds awesome. That could be really cool. And they're like, yeah, we're asking you to do it this year. And I'm like, I came to spring training to play baseball.
All right.
And so I'm like, this isn't a good sign. So they're like, yeah, yeah, we'd rather you not play baseball.
Oh, crap.
But I have a guaranteed contract. So at that point, I asked for my release, and they said, no, we're not giving you your release. And then I come to find out a year later, Tim Foley was my manager, is that Jim Bowden, through another general manager who was, you know, agents get to make friends with other general managers, is like, hey, you know why Bastic wasn't pitching in Columbus his last year in 08, especially in the second half of the season? And like, yeah, Bowden told him don't pitch him unless it's an emergency and you have to pitch him, as in like everybody's used up. So I just sat there and watched
some
games.
Personal just collusion.
Yeah. And God, that happens a lot in sports. I think that's one thing that people don't know about professional sports, is there's a lot of times where the manager of even the minor league team isn't getting to choose and pick who's playing and who's playing well and where to the, hey, maybe if I move him up to this two hole, maybe it'll even be better. A lot of that is controlled by front office, farm directors, general managers. But he pretty much, at that point, I wasn't pitching at all. So then when I would pitch, I was so inconsistent in pitching and then going out there and being consistent, trying to get guys out, that teams really just weren't that interested in me. So Bowden pretty much was furious with me and, you know, was like, hey, if you're going to act like this, you know, he felt like I wasn't acting right. And he's like, then I'm just going to destroy your career if I can.
Wow. Wow.
So, anyways,
I think that happens in sports all the time. You see it with high school coaches hold that over. Hey, I can get you into college. College coaches hold it over. Hey, I can get you into the NFL. So I think that happens all the time.
He's part of the media now, and he writes for The Athletic at times. By the way, man, The Athletic just keeps giving us great articles left and right. I know that I think Mark Cuban doesn't like The Athletic because he doesn't like their basketball coverage. But, man, I think their baseball coverage with Ken Rosenthal and Peter Gammons, and I know Jim Bowden can put out some good articles. I really like this one. And Ranger fans, you'll kind of like this one. He has his five breakout players for the 2020 season. Number one, he has center fielder for the Washington Nationals, Victor Robles. He's 22 years old. You probably recognize him from the playoffs and the World Series last year. But he says Robles is one of the hardest working young players in the game. Last season, he came out every day to work on his defense. And then it just talks about how much better he can get. At the end, it says they think that he can hit 280 with 25 homers and 30 stolen bases from the top of the lineup for the Washington Nationals. I will say this. They did overrate him 2 years ago, as Juan Soto at 19 years old was breaking out in the major leagues, and he ended up having the greatest season of a teenager in the history of baseball. They were saying, we think Victor Robles is going to be better.
All right.
He's not, and I don't think he'll ever be better than Juan Soto. Juan Soto is going to be an MVP at some point in his career. But Victor Robles does have a very high ceiling. Probably just when they thought 2-3 years ago, as Juan Soto and Victor Robles were making their way up, they thought Victor Robles would be the better one. It looks like Juan Soto is going to be the better one. Next one, number two, Scott Kingery. He's an infielder for the Philadelphia Phillies. I won't go too much into him, but it gives you an idea, especially if you play fantasy baseball. If you're like, hey, who are some of the guys maybe later in the draft to get? Hey, Victor Robles, they think he's going to be a breakout player this year. Scott Kingery, infielder for the Philadelphia Phillies. They feel like he can be a breakout player. Number three, breakout player of 2020. This one's tough because it's Willie Calhoun.
Yes! Oh, crap, Mike!
So he does say here, I bet he wrote this right before. I bet he was writing this weekend on his list. And he does put, unfortunately, he suffered the fractured jaw on Sunday. No timetable yet. But when he comes back, he expects to see special hand-eye coordination with loud and consistent sweet spot contact. He has tremendous barrel awareness with both line drive and lofting power. He is studious, focused, and committed to being the best hitter he can be. There's no doubt that sometime soon he's going to hit for average and 30 home run power. At the end, though, he does put, he's still working on left field. He was, by your statistical measures of outfield, a minus 5.1 past year. So, I mean, he's real. I hate to say this. I love Willie, and I hope he recovers and becomes this hitter that I think he can be too, that Jim Bowden is saying. But defensively, probably after this season, when Chu's contract is up, I bet Willie transitions to the designated hitter for the Texas Rangers.
Okay. All right. And listen, all I've heard about is hit tool. Yeah. Like, he's got the best hit tool there is. That being said, I know the work ethic part of it. I witnessed firsthand the feeling of slap to the face, and then doesn't matter, I'm going to get back after it. He did it, man. And so, yeah. And not being a natural outfielder or second baseman, he's been working his butt off.
You guys won't believe who the number four breakout player of 2020 is going to be.
Gerrit Cole.
He accidentally hit Willie Calhoun in the face with a baseball.
Oh no.
So they're back to back here. Willie Calhoun, number three breakout player of 2020. Number four is Julio Urias, pitcher for the Dodgers. He's 23 years old, and I won't get too much into it, but they're saying Dave Roberts coming into spring training and saying Urias isn't competing for a job in our rotation. He's in the rotation. It says has really settled him down, and he's been looking great in spring training.
Until he hit our
I just wish he would have been settled down a little bit more and not accidentally taken out our number four or five hole hitter for the first month or so of the season.
How much is he going to be affected by?
He could be.
The broken jaw.
I talked about that yesterday. It'll be something if you're a Dodgers fan to see Julio Urias versus left-handed hitters early in the season. Is he able to throw up and in underneath the hands? To get that breaking ball some leeway, that's important. That if sometimes you don't throw the best breaking ball, and you're not going to throw a great breaking ball every time. That sometimes if you hang it a little bit, but that pitch right before was underneath the hands or at the hands, and you move that guy back, it's a little bit harder for that lefty on lefty to then go back out there and stay hanging over the plate to hit that breaking ball that's middle or middle away and drive that ball up the middle or into the opposite field gap, which, I might be talking old school there. Maybe you still try to take that outside pitch and yank it, pull it hard and lift it as hard as you can to hit a home run.
The 903, he plunked him so he could move up to the number three spot.
Maybe he did.
What a jerk.
And number five, I won't give you all the other guys, but number five I'm really interested in this year, and it's Ramon Laureano. He is the center fielder for the Oakland Athletics. I love this guy. And it talks about his gold glove caliber, not only glove, but also arm when it comes to his defense. But they think that he could have a really big offensive year. And that's a guy I want to keep an eye on. And this is one of the reasons I think the Athletics are going to win 100 games this year, is I think Laureano, their center fielder, sometimes they move him off of center field, but I think he could have a big year for the Oakland Athletics. And then I'm out of time, but Ken Rosenthal is concerned, also from the Athletic, is that they're not going to have access. So right now, as far as we know, we'll ask G-Bag Nation during Crosstalk if they're not allowed to go into the clubhouse anymore, because at least they're writing that Monday they decided, Major League Baseball, that they were not going to allow the media to access the clubhouse to try to keep the players away from the media coming in and possibly spreading germs and spreading hopefully never doing it, but hopefully we don't spread the coronavirus that way from media to players.
Man, we will talk with the G-Bag Nation coming up at 1:40 about that. Great stuff from Mike Bassick, the biggest baseball brain in all of DFW Sports Talk Radio. Glad to have him on my team. I hope you're glad to have him in your midday. All right, coming up next, it is the biggest needs for every NFL team. We hit it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.